May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 334. Behold, from the desert of sin, the world and the curse of the law, a fair one whose garments are clean does with her beloved withdraw. Retiring from thence, she appears dejected and often complains, surrounded with sorrows and fears, yet on her beloved she leans. Hymn 334.
Our reading this evening you'll find in the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians and chapter 3. Philippians and chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Nor as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We'll leave the reading of God's holy word there, and may we each now be given that much needed help to pray. O most holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, grant unto us this evening that right reverence as we come into thy house, remembering whom it is we come unto, a holy God, remembering who we are, poor, unworthy sinners. Yet, Lord, enable us by faith to come boldly unto the throne of grace, through the merits of thy dear Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. May we be reverent in our worship this evening. May we be filled with awe at who thou art. And Lord, when we consider who we are, one of many millions in this land, and when we consider the pathways of our lives leading us to this point here, to gather in this chapel tonight, Lord, keep us still. But this evening, may we be given that true spirit of real worship, that as we come into thy house, we may be humbled before thee, our God, and that we may be able to truly worship. Lord, yet may we remember, it is recorded of that one who cried, Lord, help me. She worshipped. And if there is that true heartfelt cry from the soul of one here tonight, of that Lord, help me, we have worshipped. Because we have acknowledged our weakness, that we are nothing. And thou art almighty. Lord, as we come tonight, and knowest how everyone has come, man looketh on the outward appearance, but thou dost look upon the heart. What a thought for us each. We can hide nothing from thy sight. Give us, Lord, we pray, though that clear mind removed from all distracting thoughts. Give us thankfulness for thy many, many mercies unto us. And give us that true spirit of confession for our many sins. Those that may listen in too, Lord, thou knowest the reasons why. Thou knowest the needs there too. But Lord, wherever possible, may we never forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Lord, may there be more in our gathering together than just hearing a sermon. May we value the assembling of the church. Lord, may we see that this is what is recorded in the New Testament for us to follow after. And Lord, may we truly know thy presence above all in thy house, the ordinary means of grace for thy people. Lord, thou canst appear wherever we are, whatever day of the week we are in. Yet, Lord, it is thy day. We are called to assemble to worship. And as this people before us now have assembled, may we truly feel thy presence in our midst, the power of the Spirit to be stirred up within each of our hearts, that tonight, Lord, there may be something done for thee, that our souls may be lifted up to praise thee tonight for who thou art. Lord, we would pray for all those in other nations who worship in fear. We gather, Lord, and we so often do, without thinking of the great privilege of that freedom to worship. Lord, we would remember thy one church and those many people that today may have gathered for the last time or be gathering for the last time. Those many hundreds that are killed for their profession of faith every year in this world and probably into the thousands. Lord, where would we be if those days come in this land? Yet, Lord, while we have that freedom, may we value it. And when those days of persecution arise, may there be that remnant that remains faithful to thy word. For, Lord, we live in a day where we see in some so-called developed nations of the West where there are those restrictions placed upon what can even be read from thy word. O Lord, may we remain faithful to that which is contained within thy word. And as our nation and many nations in this world worship that so-called month of pride, Lord, may we see the evils of pursuing these relationships and these ideologies which are so contrary to thy word. Oh Lord, may we see in our lands our leaders pursuing that which is right. Those right relationships between one man and one woman in that married state and until death us do part. Lord, it is according to thy word and thy word changes not. And Lord, but may we ever remember that we will only be kept as thou dost keep us. May we not look on anybody that falls into any form of sin and think that we are above them. Lord, reveal unto us exactly how wicked we are. And Lord, then we will be filled with compassion upon those that are caught up in these sinful ways. And Lord, may there not be those bans on that so-called conversion therapy which we would categorize as loving prayer. And affection. And Lord, there should be that loving prayer and affection for any sinner, where there is that true repentance, as thou hast laid forth in thy word. For, Lord, we know that Jesus Christ on this earth was the friend of sinners, did eat with publicans and sinners, and drew near unto them. So may we know Jesus tonight, revealed unto us by thy Spirit, that we may have some comfort, some felt knowledge of that love within our hearts personally. O Lord, that our affections may be drawn on high, that tonight we may not pour on ourselves too long, lest it sink us lower. May we look to Jesus this evening and have our affections drawn up. Lord, do we pray, subdue all that is within and do graciously condescend to come and help each one. We pray for all places of worship where thy word has been faithfully preached today, in our churches and in any place where thy word is truly preached. Lord, may we see days of increase in this land, if it be thy will. Pray for all those that have laboured today, those who may have now be journeying home, those who have sown the seed this day. May there be that fruit seen from it. then Lord, may we be given that desire for an increase in the churches up and down this nation. Lord, we live in a day where there is much to cast us down. We live in a day where we can become so burdened with everything, but this is our day that we are upon this earth. Help each one to be good and faithful servants. Lord, do we pray? Solemnize our hearts as the people here gather around thy table later on. Gather with us. Give us faith, Lord, to see what is before us. Come and fill us with thy presence. And Lord, may we know that thou art with us still. Be with those that are unwell, those unable to be here tonight. Do be with them as they may listen in. Those that are at home with the children, Lord, do help them that they may too have a little to hear for profit. And we thank thee that these means are available, that there can be the services heard. Lord, be with the deacons here, be with one at the desk this evening. Lord, may there be those hymns chosen by thee tonight for the good of our souls. Help us, dear Lord, in all aspects of our worship tonight, in singing, in reading, in prayer and in preaching. Come in and through all of it, dear Lord. Lord, do we pray? Give each one that desire for a closer walk with thee. And as we go through our journey, Lord, help us to search our hearts, to see if there be any wicked way therein. Lord, for we know that there is that withdrawing of thy Spirit. Lord, may we not be blinded by whatever we are blinded by, but Lord, stir us up again. Lord, may we see thy goodness going before us once more. Lord, do indeed be with all those organisations that seek to do good in this world. Seek to spread thy word into the far corners of the earth. And we give thanks that there are those many nations where thy word is truly heard. And there is a real hunger and thirst for it. We look upon our nation and mourn, but thy work is continuing. A remnant remains upon this earth. And Lord, may thy word continue to be greatly blessed. Lord, and may we pray for those brothers and sisters that we know not of, living in great need, but faithfully worshipping today. May we do so too, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest. Be with the children, the young people. Be with those that go away on holiday before too long. Do help them too, that they may have that enjoyable time together and that they may be strengthened from it. But Lord, we truly beg that what is before us in this coming week, we know not what it may be, but may we know that thou art with us still, guiding and keeping and directing us. And as we may gather for prayer here tomorrow evening to pray for our nation, Lord, may there be that prayer before the meeting and that true heartfelt prayer in the meeting. Come, Lord, we beg. Help us in all our needs. Draw near unto us, Lord, we pray. Help the people. Open the ears. Prepare the hearts to receive the word. Empty us of self, Lord, that nothing of ourself may mar thy precious word. Pour in that we may be able to pour out to the people this night. Stir thy Spirit up within us, dear Lord Jesus, we pray. And forgive all that we have asked amiss, for we ask all in and through thy precious name. Amen.
Hymn number 795. Mighty enemies without, much mightier within. thoughts we cannot quell or rout, blasphemously obscene, coldness, unbelief and pride, hell and all its murderous train, threaten death on every side, and have their thousands slain. Hymn 795.
Thank you.
In need of the Lord to help each one of us here this evening, both in the preaching and the hearing of the word, I'll ask you to turn with me to the chapter that we read, the book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 10. But I'll read the portion from verse 7 to the end of verse 11. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, but I'll reread from verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That I may know him. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, it is apparent throughout this letter what runs through it. His joy. We see in the first chapter, joy in suffering. Into the second chapter, that joy in serving his God. Into the third chapter, that joy in believing. And in that latter chapter, that joy in giving. The word rejoice recorded 9 times, I believe, in this letter. And the word joy 6 times. It flows through it like a golden thread. Throughout this book. Yet as the world would look on Paul, they would say, what have you got to fill you with joy? A man in prison. A man that had lost everything. A man whom we read in the end of 2 Corinthians, don't we? All that he had endured. 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Beaten, stoned, shipwrecked. Night and day in the deep. In perils of waters, perils of robbers. Perils everywhere. Weariness, painfulness. In watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and so on and so on. Yet Paul was full of joy. Why? Because he could rejoice in the Lord. And yet, although that theme of joy runs through this book, although he knows his Jesus crucified, what does he still desire? That I may know him. Paul knew him. Paul knew him. Paul had those revelations. Paul was a Christian. But will we ever know enough of our Saviour? Will we ever have enough faith? If we've tasted a little, do we want more? And how did you come up this evening? What was your prayer? Was it this, that I may know him. Because if we know him, we will have done what we came here for. We have come to worship, and a knowledge of our Saviour will cause us true worship. A knowledge of our sinfulness will cause us to truly worship. Did you cry today, "Oh, that I may know him"? So this evening, may the Lord help us to look a little at this verse and this chapter. What Paul was desiring, and what all true Christians will desire, and desire to know more of. But firstly, maybe we should look a little at why Paul had this joy. Because it is an important point to get straight in our minds. The non-believer can only have real joy or happiness is dependent upon their circumstances. They may be happy because of the fact they've got a new job or a new house, a new car, going on holiday. They're happy because of everything going on round about them. The external things make them happy. And we all experience that naturally, don't we? We have that happiness within our lives when something good happens to us. We should thank God for it. We should be thankful for things that make us happy. But those things that make us happy can be snatched from us in a moment. Those things which make the world happy are fleeting. True joy is inside. True joy the world cannot remove, because true joy is in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. We think of Paul when he was with Silas. What were they doing? What would you do if you were put in prison for your faith? Would you moan and groan about how oppressive our society now is? Would you despair at the situation you were in? Or would you be like Paul and Silas? They sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Can the world say that of us as they look at us day by day? In this prison, we could say, of this life, this earth, do they look upon us and say, "Do you know, they've got something I haven't got"? What is it? How, in the face of all this adversity, can they stand up? Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Is that a mirror of us when times are hard? Are we, as it were, not being irreverent, a good advertisement of who we profess to follow? Joy, true joy, is rooted in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul was content to let it all go. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. You know, I find that hymn oftentimes hard to sing. I could from all things parted be. All things, but never, never, Lord, from thee. We're earthbound, aren't we? We cling to things here below. Paul counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. So let us try and look more specifically at this verse this evening. And maybe we should ponder the second word in verse 10. That word, I. Do you know him? Could you leave this place tonight and say, I know him? To know him is life eternal. To know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, this is life eternal. Our life is but a vapor compared to that to come. Can you put your name in this verse tonight? That I, fill in the blank with your name, know him. How can we carry on if we don't? Where will we be if we don't? That I may know him. We need to know it experimentally. We need to know it personally. Yes, we need a head knowledge. Yes, we should not despise a head knowledge. But we need what we know in our heads to sink into our hearts, so that feelingly we may know him. Because true religion is more than notion. Something must be both known and felt, that I may know him. We have no ability within ourselves to know him. We have to prove, don't we, the truth of those words, that without me, you can do nothing. But do you also know the truth of those words? That I can do all things, how? Through Christ Jesus, who strengtheneth me. That personal knowledge by faith of Christ enables the pilgrim to continue in this journey. Without me, ye can do nothing. Do we know him? There is that hymn which I marked up earlier, 169 and verse 3. Is this your prayer tonight? Oh, may my single aim be now to live on him that died, and nor on earth desire to know but Jesus crucified. To know a crucified Saviour. That's what we need to know. Because, dear friends, whether you know it or not at this moment, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Scripture leaves us in no doubt. The wages of sin is death. We've all fallen short of the mark. We have all sinned. We have all come short. Have we got an interest in Christ's precious blood? A crucified Saviour? Do we know by faith that he died for sinners? And can you by faith say, I trust he died for me? He died for sinners. Have you been shown that you're a sinner in measure? Some will be shown deeply, some less so. But the result will be repentance. The result will be a turning away from the things of this world, whether that be by seeing in the world an emptiness, a nothingness that is of true value, or whether it be with an overwhelming, crushing knowledge of our sin that causes us to flee unto him. There will be repentance. Repent and believe, we read, both of which are gifts from God. Two sides of the same coin. Repentance and belief. A knowledge, personally, of a crucified Saviour. That love in Christ. Shortly we will gather around the Lord's table to remember that love. Are there any here tonight who know that love but aren't gathering round this table? Dear friends, we're commanded to. We're commanded to follow, to be obedient to him. If ye love me, keep my commandments. This do, in remembrance of me. Do you know him tonight? That I may know him. How do we know him? It is Christ in us, by his Spirit, isn't it? What do we read? I can't think where it is, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a precious thought, isn't it? Christ in you. As Paul says in his letter to the Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. That's the way we know him, by the indwelling of the Spirit. That's why how we know him, by the Spirit revealing the preciousness of Christ unto us and the love of the Father. Christ in you. That's how we know someone personally, isn't it? By spending that time with them, by that nearness to them. Do we know that nearness to Christ? That I may know him. Or maybe we should consider a little how we know Christ. Maybe your cry is tonight, oh, that I could know him. Oh, that I could say that he was mine. Oh, that I knew it personally. What are the words of Jesus in John 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That's how we know him. By hearing his voice. By hearing his voice as our shepherd. Have you heard his voice? Has he spoken to you? Has the Lord ever applied a word to your heart? That's touched you. That's drawn your affections unto him. My sheep hear my voice. We need to question ourselves, dear friends. Have you heard his voice? Are you following him? Because contained within that portion of Scripture is a blessed promise. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We read, don't we, that we must walk by faith and not by sight. Are there any here tonight that are trying to walk by sight and not by faith? I fear there are many. I fear there are. We walk by faith. We walk by following Christ. He leads us. We trust our heavenly shepherd. He gives that faith. He gives that faith. And we must follow. I give unto them eternal life as a reward. You know, John is so strong on this, isn't he? That knowledge of Christ, that knowledge. It's throughout his epistles, isn't it, that word, know. How many times, and I was going to read that first chapter if I had time, but it's summed up, isn't it, in various portions. But in 1 John 1 we read, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And in closing his epistle, he writes in those latter chapters, chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This was John's desire. This was the Apostle Paul's desire. And this is my desire. And this is the desire of everyone, or should be, that stands in this place. That you may know personally a precious Saviour. That you may see that dying love. And that we may ponder on it. Ponder on that precious love. That I may know him. But let us move on in our text. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. We need to know a crucified Saviour, but also a risen Saviour. There's no gospel without the resurrection. All we have is a good man that has died. We need a risen Saviour. We need a risen Saviour that has overcome death. That is what we need. And that is what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. One that has risen. One that has conquered death. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. If all we have is our sins forgiven, we've not fulfilled the law. We're at a point of neutrality with a holy God. We need to be clothed in his righteousness. Christ rose, conquered death, that we may be clothed in his righteousness and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The power of his resurrection. This proved that Jesus was the Son of God. This proved that he had power to conquer death. And this enables us to share in that righteousness. It's what Peter lays before us in his epistle too, isn't it? The importance of that righteousness. We are kept in chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." That imputed righteousness that is given to his people. Not earned, but given. That precious living Saviour. We have, don't we, in that hymn, "The Saviour lives, no more to die. He lives, the Lord, enthroned on high. He lives, triumphant o'er the grave. He lives, eternally to save. He lives, all glory to his name. He lives, unchangeably the same. He lives, their mansions to prepare. He lives, to bring them safely there, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." The power of a risen Saviour that has conquered death. But what about the next bit? You may say, "Oh, I would like to know him. I would like to know the power of his resurrection. What about the fellowship of his sufferings?" To inherit the crown of glory, there must be that crown of thorns. To inherit that robe of splendor, that robe of righteousness, there must be that robe of contempt. Christ walked upon this earth. Christ suffered. He wept. He bled. He died for you. What more, my soul, can Jesus do? Yet, are we prepared to have that fellowship of his suffering? Are we prepared, as we read in Matthew's Gospel, don't we, to take up our cross and follow him? To know him, to know the power of his resurrection, there must be that fellowship with his sufferings in measure. For who, dear friends, could suffer like the perfect man? Who could suffer like the God-man, the man Christ Jesus? That one forsaken, felt forsaken by his Father, as the sins of his people were laid upon him. My God," he cried, "why hast thou forsaken me?" Forsaken by his Father, that poor, unworthy sinners in this chapel tonight can live. That's love, dear friends. That's love. That's unspeakable love. Behold, what manner of love is this, that a man lay down his life for his friends? By nature, we don't love that, do we? That is horrible. That is terrible. But what are we in the eyes of a holy God? we're defiled by sin. Sin is mixed with all we do. And yet, do we know a little of that electing love? Do we know a little of that free, sovereign grace in our hearts? Have you felt your affections drawn? Has he spoken to you? Has he drawn you by his love? Have you taken up that cross and followed him? We have those precious words in, well, they're precious to me anyway, in Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise, dear friends. That is a promise. Is that what you're longing for tonight? Oh, maybe you're saying, I've known a little of that rest, but I need to know more. Well, you're like the Apostle Paul, aren't you? You know him, but you long to know more of him. We can come again, dear friends, by faith. Come again to the cross. Come again to a precious Saviour. Come again to one that loves his people. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come by faith, that precious gift of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, do you feel a drawing to Christ? Do you feel a need of him? Can you cry with the hymn writer, give me Christ, or else I die? If so, why? Why do you desire Christ? Because your eyes have been opened. Your heart has been changed. Or have you been like that your whole life? The appointed time, dear friend, rolls on apace, not to propose but call by grace. My sheep, hear my voice, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. But Paul, as he carries on in this chapter, knows deeply in his heart, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, he says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend or lay hold of that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He wanted a stronger grip. He wanted a stronger knowledge. And that will be the pathway of all his people. It comes in really with that hymn, doesn't it? Hymn 771. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Is your desire in that third verse, oh, could I know and love him more and all his wondrous grace explore? Ne'er would I covet man's esteem, but part with all and follow him. Shortly now we will follow him. We will follow him to the table. We will gather round it. And we will remember the broken body of Christ and his shed blood. May the Lord give us that faith to look beyond the outward signs to the love that was shown, that is shown to undeserving sinners. And if there be one in this congregation tonight trying to earn their way to this to this table, there is no way we can. We cannot earn our salvation. It's given unto us. Can we rejoice a little in the Lord? Do we know anything of that peace which passeth all understanding? Do we know anything of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord? We may gather round this table, and oftentimes we can think we need this and we need that, and we may come to the Lord's table begging for this and begging for that. We come to remember Him. We come to remember what He has done. We come to look. We come. Sometimes we may feel so far off. Why is that? Maybe it is because, as we tried to say this morning, we have drifted. But dear friends, we may feel unworthy. We are unworthy. We will always be unworthy. But that doesn't mean that we partake unworthily. We come by faith. May we come humbly, but may we come knowing that we look, we take, we eat, we drink. And in this way, we partake by faith of His sufferings. So wherever you are this evening, whatever is before us in this week, will you wake up on Monday morning and cry that I may know Him? Will you desire on Tuesday, oh, that I may know Him? As you go through the week, dear friends, what are we looking for? To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all else beside. May everyone come to know it. I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Cottingham. Mr. Fred Ince will preach on Tuesday evening. And after the service, there'll be a collection for the free Bibles we distribute. And next Lord's Day, God willing, Mr. Philip Warren will preach. Let us close with hymn 704. Lord, we lie before Thy feet, look on all our deep distress. Thy rich mercy may we meet, clothe us with Thy righteousness. Stretch forth Thy almighty hand, hold us up, and we shall stand. Hymn 704.
Have been the prayer of everyone here. that we may know thee. Lord, we need to know thee more. Lord, draw near. Help us as we continue, as we gather round thy table now. May we know thee there. Help us as we, if we are spared, enter another week. May we know thee there. And when brought to our dying bed, may we know thee there. And look by faith to that time where thy people will be raised to glory, to know thee without a veil between. Lord, we wander here below in this wilderness, but may we be strengthened to continue. Lord, that which has been of thee today in our worship, use him, seal him, and bless him. And that which has been of me, remove from the minds of the people, that all they may have seen today is a precious Jesus and an almighty God. Now may the grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.